Good morning. We're on lesson seven this morning, a challenging prayer. Mike is going to say a prayer to begin our class or open our class up this morning. So, Mike, you'll do that.
Father, our God in heaven, we're grateful for this opportunity to come study on the Lord our will. We pray that we'll take the lesson that we learned today and use it in our everyday life and help us to guide our path to heaven. We pray that we'll be the right example for those around us and do the things that we should to lead in the right direction. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins and help those that are sick and bereaved. Thanks for all the blessings you give us every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I want to look at a couple things to begin this morning. I want us to start by looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 12. And this is what it says. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." In that verse, where it says, "And his ears attend to their prayer," that's a key word, attend. The King James uses the word, "they are open." And his ears are open to their prayer. William's translation uses the word listen, and he listens to their prayer. I think that's important that we have to remember when we're talking about prayer that God listens to our prayers. We have to understand that from the standpoint from where we are, that's an important thing for him to listen. It's important for us for any of us when we're talking with someone, a husband and a wife. It's important when you talk that the other one listens. And sometimes we as husbands are, "Clint, smiling about that, I'm not good about that," kind of thing. And we hear but we don't listen, and there's a difference in hearing and listening. So we have to keep that in the forefront of our mind. But I think we have to realize something else too. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want us to keep something in mind. Sometimes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, and we know this story, I'm going to read three verses. It says, "And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." Of course, this is talking about Paul. "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this," this is what he says, "I entreated the Lord three times that it may depart from me." So what that says is he asked God three times to remove that from him or for it to depart from him. In verse 9 it says, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me." I think it's important for us to remember that sometimes the answer is no. And we can't think, well, God hates me. Or, has there ever been a time when you thought that you were mad at God for something? I hope not. But if you're human, and that time may come. Whenever the circumstances of life are such as they are, you may come to think that that God, for some reason doesn't like you or has something against you or something like that. God hears our prayers. And sometimes the answer is no. I want you to turn back also, and then we'll get into our lesson as soon as we read these few verses here. In 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. You know the story. It's about David. In the 12th chapter, If we look at that, I won't take the time to read it all, but verse 15 through verse 23 is the story there where he did not want his child to die. David didn't want his child to die, and we can understand that. But in verse 22, he said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. He's looking to God, but the answer in verse 23 was, but now he has died. But the consolation of that, he goes on in the end of verse 23 to say, can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. That's our, and that, there is no thing that can compare with, and I have not experienced that. There are those here at the West End who have experienced that, the death of a child. There is nothing, I don't believe, that could compare to that, but eternal comfort in the fact that I can go to them. So those are things, that's reality. That's where we live. So when we ask God for things, and we do, and we've talked about so many of those things this quarter, you know, our question, and I want to ask you this question as we start our class this morning, when we talk about a challenging prayer. Quite frankly, when I think about a challenging prayer, this lesson's not exactly what I thought it would be when we talk about a challenging prayer. Because, you know, think about this. When we ask each other, and we've done this morning with some who are here, we'll do it here when class is over, before worship begins, we'll talk to people. And what's the question? One of the questions, you know, we'll say hi. And then what do we follow that with? How are you doing? And what do we expect to hear?
Fine.
What?
Fine.
And we go on our merry way. And are we fine, though, usually? Sometimes we are fine, right? But a lot of times we're not. But do we, as regular people, and we as people as God, of God, do we want to hear, you know, I mean, you know people like this. You know, oh, my elbow's been popping. You know, and my arthritis and... And we don't want to hear those, Keith. We don't want to hear those.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother.
she never had a good day.
Bless her heart.
She lived to be 90, but she never had a good day.
Yeah, and probably could whip me and you both.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 120 pounds, wide open.
She walked uphill to school both ways in the summer.
But she was bad. She was in bad shape all the time.
Yeah, but she was just tough.
Yeah.
She was just tough as a knot, you know. But there are folks like that. But that's not really what we want to hear. And that's a problem. And I've talked about that before. That's a problem for us when we think about, you know, that may just be why we have a difficult time realizing who to pray for. Because if you're fine, Keith, you look fine. You know, Kim looks a little happy, you know. But you look like you're okay. And I, other than the fact of being ugly, and overweight, I look okay. You know, I bathe. I hope I smell all right. I brush my teeth. I hope my breath's not terrible. So I look, and when you ask me if I'm okay, yes, I'm okay. But the problem with that is when we look at each other, we don't see what's really there. And I'm not so sure, but, you know, we don't really want to know all those things. But if we knew those things, wouldn't that help us in our list of things to pray about? You know, if we knew... You know, if you could see an imaginary basket that's sitting over Brian's shoulders, and it has all those things in it that that are weighing on him. You know, Dave Hainer mentioned that. You know, being a dad, there's a lot of things we get, you know, in life. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of responsibilities we have, and that's so true. But there are a lot of things in all of our lives that we're packing. You know, so that may just be, you know, when we think about challenges to our prayers, that may just be one of the challenges that we have. That we look at each other and we think that everybody's just fine. And I'll tell you, there are Christians who sit in our assembly and they struggle with that. They struggle with that because they're saying, you know, I don't understand this. Because, you know, that young man there, he's got this thing figured out. And then they say, you know, that lady over there, man, look at all those things she's doing. She's got this thing figured out. And I'm sitting here, and you know, I can't do anything right to save my life. I'm struggling. You know, and see, it's a deception. And that's what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to think everybody else has got everything figured out. And we're not. And so what's the best thing for us to do if we're in that position? Well, we might as well just give up. We might as well just give up if we're the Christian and we can't do all those things and we can't figure everything out. That's not true. That is not true. Well, what about when others come our way? I want us to think about this. When others come our way, and I'm going to tell you, I had this happen just yesterday. When people come our way, like Brother Tomlin, and he talks about going to Italy, or, you know, when we read a preacher report, and I did this yesterday. I read the report, Brian, you got that, the report from Jason Dixon. He preaches in Richmond, Kentucky. And I read that. It was his October report. I got it last week, and I read it yesterday morning. And you know what I realized? You know, he deals with some things in Richmond, Kentucky. There are a lot of great things in the report. He tells about all the things that he's doing, all the things that they're involved in. And one of the things is that on Wednesday evening, he teaches a high school class. And in Richmond, Kentucky, the high school class on Wednesday evening has on average 15 people in it. I'm going to tell you something. That's a great thing. The high number in it, he said, was 21 in his report. I'm going to tell you, that's a great thing. I don't care how you look at that. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, that's a good thing. They have a high school class that's got 21 people in it, or 15 people in it. That's a great thing. But there are also some challenges that he has, too. His wife has some health trouble that gives her problems continually, and they deal with that. But that doesn't stop them. They go through those things. They get through those things. And you know what? You know what? I was ashamed of myself yesterday because, you know, Brian told you about the board that I have that I write people's names on that means something special about them. You know, I looked on that board and I thought about things I prayed about, and you know what? His name wasn't up there. And you know what? He's a man that this congregation, us, we here, we're involved in support, in his support. And I thought, you know what? I ought to be ashamed of myself. Because I don't ever remember one time myself mentioning his name in prayer until yesterday. And I felt bad about that, and I should feel bad about that. But you know what? I did something about it. And I put him on, I wrote his name on my board this morning. I did that early this morning, but I prayed for him yesterday. And I thought, you know what? And you know what? I've never met him. But I read his report, and he told in detail the things that he's involved in and the things that he's doing. And I've never met him. It, just like Paul in our story, with the account that he said, and I hate to call it a story because it's not a story. It's real. It really happened. But when we talk about those things, Paul did not know these folks, these Colossians. He didn't know. He hadn't met them personally, but he had reports of them. Now, there are people here at West End. They know Jason Dixon. They're familiar with him. They've sat down and had a meal with him. They've had a personal relationship with him. And I trust what they say. And I'm trusting the work that he does. But we can ask ourselves, do we pray for those people? You know, just as a... I don't know if any of you... You remember when Mitch Johnson came? It's been a couple of years ago. He's Lou Ellen Johnson's brother, Mitch. And he had gotten to go. He's an elder out in Arizona. And he'd gotten to go to Sierra Leone, which I didn't even know. I mean, Sierra Leone could have been in Russellville for all I know. You know, but it's not. It's in, where is it? South Africa. It's in South Africa. It's down over here in Africa, if you were looking at a map. But that's where it is. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. That's where it is. Southwest Africa. That's where it is. And he gave us a report about that. And those reports are all fine. But I'm going to tell you what did some good for me. Is he sat down with us as a group of elders, and he talked with us for about an hour and a half, 2 hours that afternoon. And the thing that's burned in my mind, and he visited with us in the last month. And I said something to him about it then. He said, I don't know whether I'll ever be able to go again in my life. But the thing that's burned in my brain, and he said it again when he visited, he said it when he was here before, he said, it changed my life. Why did it change your life? Because it made me feel, look at everything that I have, and they have nothing. And you know what? They want God, and they want to look to God. You know, I don't know any of those folks in Sierra Leone, but I know Mitch Johnson. We helped support him to go to Sierra Leone, and that's a good thing. So I got to thinking, I'm not so sure I've ever prayed for those folks either. And here's what I'm trying to say about that. I have a friend who you know where Madagascar is? That's over here on this side. You know, if we're looking at a map of Africa, Madagascar is an island. It's over here. It's south, south that way, southwest Africa.
Southeast.
Southeast. Well, it's one side or the other. It's that. It's that way. That's right. That is east. It's that way. Okay. And he's a gospel preacher that regularly travels there. Well, he held a gospel meeting in a particular place. And they didn't know that he went there. Didn't know anything about that. The peculiar thing that he found out while he was there, and it shocked him and shocked them. They had a ladies' Bible class that was held every week. There were a bunch, I won't call them older ladies, but they were, I guess they kind of be older. So they're older ladies, and they had that every week. And they prayed about stuff every week. And they picked out places on a map that they would pray about. Now, you know what? That's a great idea. And the peculiar thing is, for about a year, they had picked out Madagascar. Now, they didn't know anybody in Madagascar. They didn't even know anybody that went to Madagascar. But they picked out Madagascar, and they said, you know what? We're going to pray for Madagascar. Then this guy shows up, and he holds a gospel meeting for him. And in talking, he happened to mention going to Madagascar. And one of these ladies asked him, said, what is that about that you're going to Madagascar? And he told them, and you know, and we're trying to teach the gospel, and we're trying to find people that can translate the language, and that we can not only that can translate, but the problem that they have in Madagascar is trusting the people who are translating. So he said, we're dealing with that, but we're taking the gospel to Madagascar. And this lady said, the other lady, they're not going to believe this. They're just not going to believe this. And he said, well, she said, you won't believe what I'm fixing to tell you. But for about a year, we've been praying for Madagascar, and we didn't know anybody. We didn't know, none of us are able to go to Madagascar. We didn't know anybody that went to Madagascar. And here, you've gone to Madagascar, and we're praying for those people. You see how that works? I don't know how that works. But you say, you know what? That had an impact on both of them. You know, the one going and those ladies, you know what? They realize, hey, us picking out somewhere and praying about it, whether we know anybody there or not, or whether we've ever stepped foot on that land, it doesn't matter. Look what they unleashed when they unleashed the power of God through their prayers. So, you know, another thing for us to think about. Has anybody here ever had the ungodly, and I'll explain this in a minute, have you ever had the ungodly come to you and ask you to pray on their behalf? Or most of the times, what I've found is they'll ask you to pray on behalf of one of their family members. Have you ever had that happen? I have. And matter of fact, and I can think of one instance in particular, one of the most ungodly men that I know. I mean, that's the best way of describing him. And I see him from time to time. But I mean, he has no. And we've talked about God and biblical things. And we had a mutual friend tonight, and that's the first time he ever thought. He came to me and he said, "I never thought that there was a possibility that I could see them again." He doesn't know anything about the Bible. Nothing. Wasn't what I mean. His family doesn't care anything about godly things. But he came to me when his dad got sick. And he said, "Will you pray for my dad because he's sort of sick?" And I'm going to tell you, his dad, I never met his dad. Never met his dad. And I'm going to tell you, just from what he's told me, his dad's one of the most ungodly men on the face of the earth too. But I prayed for his dad, and his dad got all right. And so hopefully we can have some more conversations about that, because he's thought about that more in the last couple of years than ever before. Just because we had a mutual friend to die, and we were both at that funeral, and he was tore up because he lost his best friend in the whole entire world at that time. Well, had ever been. And he didn't understand what that was. But he didn't understand that there was a possibility for him to be able to see him again. And, as a matter of fact, the man that died was at one time a member of the church. He was an unfaithful member of the church when he died, but at one time he was a member of the church. And he knew, me and him had biblical discussions before. But those are things we can do. We can pray about those things. So, my question to you is, what challenges us about our praying? What challenges you? And this is the time for you to answer. And there's no right, there's no wrong answers here. But what are some things that really challenge us when it comes to our being able to pray to God and talk to God? We don't have any? What are some things?
Praying for the unknown.
Praying for the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Well, I mean, like a sickness or an illness or like my children's future. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can pray about it. And all I can do is pray and hope for the best.
Right. But that is a challenge. That is a challenge. What else? What are the things, challenges? I'll give you one to think about. I want God to see things from my point of view. Does that make sense? That's a challenge. I want God to understand what, because I'm talking about me here. Okay? Nobody else. There are times when, I know this situation a lot more than God. Are y'all never like that? And I want God to see from my standpoint. Does that make sense? I'm the only one, so y'all can think about it. That gives you something to pray about me. And that's a challenge. But what I need to be worried about is I need to be worried about seeing things from God's standpoint. Now, if I did that, it wouldn't be a challenge, would it? Now, I'm not saying that to beat us up. I'm saying that to help us. And we're going to get there, I promise you. What are some of the things that challenge us in our prayer?
Like Brian talked about last time, if we're not right with God, we can't pray for somebody else to help them.
That's right. And sometimes I think that's a big challenge for us. Of saying, at this particular point in time, I know my prayers are not going to the sick. You remember early on in the class, that's why I said use your children. Use those children because we know that their hearts are pure, and we know that their prayers, they're going right, that they don't get hindered by unrighteous living like ours do. But that's important for us to live right. We're going to talk about that later on today. And tonight and on Wednesday evening, but those are challenges. I really want us to spend more time in our lives communicating with God. We're going to talk about that a little later too. How just important that is, and how important Paul thought it was for them. But when we, what are some other challenges? Are there any other challenges that we have?
I think, like, if the prayer, like, answers don't come in the time frame like we're hoping for, mm-hmm. like, that's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It is a challenge. Because our time frame, that there again, that goes back to one of those things that I know a whole lot more about this particular situation than God does. And we know that, that when I say that, that sounds so foolish, and it is foolish, but that's how we act. Is, I mean, would you agree? That's how we act sometimes. You know, God, I know a lot more. I'm a lot closer to this situation. I know a lot more about what's going on here than you do. And we know that's not true, but that's how we act. And, you know, we're all, our society, our world has made us where that when, you know, think about when we're ordering a hamburger. I order it, and then, you know, I expect that hamburger in 30 seconds. You know, the timer's clicking. You know, and that they're expecting that to be put out that window with a napkin and a fork and a receipt. And you know, when the timer, when the bell dings, and so that the color on the wall stays green instead of red, and you know, because that's what makes everybody happy. And so we expect that. So when we, I want patience, and I want it right now. That's just how we are. But our world is getting worse about that. You know, we're expecting, you know, where once, you know, people don't even have time anymore to stop. You know, when somebody calls me on the phone, some people hate talking to me on the phone. And I really don't like talking on the phone. I like talking face to face. But when they call me on the phone, and the immediate thing they say is, they start out, I always say the same, how are you doing today? And it kind of derails some people. And it's almost to the point of some people that really aggravate, it derails them to where they don't even realize, they don't even remember why they called. Because they're calling to shout an order, or I need this, or I need that. But when you say, how are you doing today? Even when you call to have work done somewhere, that's usually the first question that I ask. Whoever answers the phone. I may have a catastrophe here, but I always ask, how are you doing today? And they're shocked sometimes by that. Because they expect me to say, hey, I need a plumber over here immediately. That's what they're expecting. But that's not what I ask. Now, I may need a plumber over there immediately, but I'm gonna get that out first. I don't know. I try to always do that. That don't always happen. But we have to take the time to do that. Are we so, it really aggravates me. I love to pull over when it's a funeral procession. And I think the reason that I love to pull over is because I see people that don't love to pull over. And I don't want to change in that because, you know, I don't know who that is, but I have respect for them. You know, and I know this part of the country is probably different from other parts of the country. And you know, when you're on a four-lane highway, and when you go down Fairview Avenue, and you know, there are some people, I've done it when I didn't notice that there was a funeral. So, and they come flying by you about 95, you know. And they're wanting to jump up on the sidewalk and get around because they don't have time for that. I'm going to tell you, if we don't have that, it takes about 2.5 minutes to maybe 5 at the very most. And that, and you know, there's not even room in the cemetery to fit all those cars. Takes 5 minutes. But if we don't have that time, we're never going to find the time to pray. We're never going to find the time to read our Bible. You know, when we talk about being time managers, and as Christians, we've got to be good time managers. But we've got to spend time communicating with God. But when we look at Paul, what I want us to see when we talk about a challenging prayer are, do our prayers line up with his prayers? Because Paul is a great example for us. And I'm going to tell you, I learned some things just in the last few days about really, really looking at what some of the things Paul's talking about. And I'll confess to you, some of those things I just read right over and never really put together that there were some differences in the things that he was talking about. Because the words were so similar. And I didn't realize that. And so I've come to realize there is a difference in some of the things he's talking about. But I mean our prayers. Because I want to tell you, it's easy. You know, and I'll relate this like this. Isn't it easy to pick out somebody else's faults Isn't that really easy? Lark, you have, well, I'm going to pick on you. But isn't it easy to find, I mean, and I know he doesn't have very many, but isn't it easy to find Brandon's faults? It's so easy to pick those out, isn't it? And if he were here, and I would ask him that, and I would say, isn't it so easy to pick out Laura's faults? And he would say, well, she doesn't have any. Of course, that's a fault of his too, but you know. But it's so easy to do that. But it's hard for us to see. It's hard for us to step out and look back. I like to do that like that. Step out of ourselves for a moment. And if we were a house, go outside and look back through the window at ourselves. So when we do that, it's sometimes it's shocking what we see of ourselves. Well, when we think about Paul and we think about the prayers, you know, that he revolved around, that his prayers revolve around, do our prayers revolve around those same things? And what I mean by that is, it's real easy for me to think of all these lists of things that I really need, because remember, I know so much more about the situation than God does. You know, so it's really easy. Do you all have that? Isn't it easy to come up with the things that I really need, and you know, that I need help with, and I need it? And it's not always necessarily that easy to look at what others may need, or look at the things that are going on that's good in their life and see what those things are. Do you have that problem too? I mean, maybe that's just me. I hope it's just me. But you see what I'm saying by that? So we have to, our prayers need to revolve around those things. And like on Wednesday night, when Brian was talking about, all these little pieces fit together. When we talk about having a passion for people, you know, when I made the comment to Brian about what if I never prayed for anything for myself, but I only prayed for Brian, or I only prayed for Clint, and what if they did the same thing and they only prayed for somebody else? I'm not so sure, but we would understand so much better the power that we have in prayer. It just makes sense to me. And I'm not saying it isn't wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for ourselves. Paul, like we read earlier, he asked three times for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. You know, I don't know. I would love to have been there and heard those prayers. I don't know, but what he didn't say those prayers. Maybe he talked to God in his mind. You know, prayers don't have to be uttered. You know, most of the time when I'm driving down the road and the radio's off, that's a perfect time to pray. I don't have to say any words, but I'm talking to God. I'm praying to God. And he expects us to tell him everything. But have we ever prayed for those we've never met? That can be difficult. It just can be. But in Colossians, when we look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, I want to look there before we read our verses in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face." But Paul did. You know, maybe it's easier for us to pray for people that we know. It is easier sometimes when we know a particular situation or we know something. You know, that can be a difficult thing when we're talking about somebody and praying for somebody that, you know what, we know they need our prayers, but we don't know the specific things that they need on their behalf. But we know God knows, and we know that we can approach Him. It's difficult to pray for a stranger, but that's one of the things that Paul did. You know, he knew of them. He had reports of them. He knew the things that they had been growing in, and he knew that approaching God in prayer on their behalf would only increase their faith and their knowledge. So the question we can ask ourselves is, can we shape our prayers like Paul? And the answer to that is, well, let's look at the text and let's see. You know, I think that we will be able to do that. On Wednesday night, we'll go back and read the first part of chapter 1 in Colossians there. But we'll our lesson talks about verses 9 through 12. And really, I want to stretch that out and make that verses 9 through 14, because I think that takes us in a spot that we really need to go. The whole first chapter, I would wish that you would read the whole first chapter of Colossians before Wednesday night, because that chapter is probably one of the most key chapters in the whole entire Bible. The reason for that is it takes us to a spot, and it talks about what is important, and that being ultimately Jesus Christ, and ultimately us having a relationship with Him. And that's where that takes us. When we look at verse 9, it says, and we'll read verses 9 through 14. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of the all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." See, that's why I extended that through the 14th verse, because that's what's important. That's what is important to us. You know, Paul here is giving them the assurance to these Christians at Colossae. He's telling them that he prayed for them, and we see that he's done that. That's not new to Paul. He's done that many, many times before. He's thanked God for the blessings that they've received. Well, what are the things that he had prayed for on their behalf? And we're, like I said, we're going to talk about this more in depth, the particular things that he prayed for and how that they are. You know, we could read over that, Mike.
By generally what everyone said about, I hope they didn't get you off track here, but there's an important part that we need to think about too when we pray. Jesus is our mediator, okay? So when we're praying to God, we're going through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And He intercedes for us. So these things that we have, and He knows our mind, and He knows our heart, He really knows what we're trying to say, even though we're not saying it, but we're approaching God through Jesus.
Right.
Don't you think that Jesus says, okay, I don't want to make it be human, but don't you think Jesus says, no, this is what He means, God. This is what He means. This is what He's looking for. Maybe He's not asking for it right now. You know, there's a point there that we've got to realize. If we don't go straight to God, that when we do have these difficulties, such as, you know, seeing it from your point of view,
right,
the future of our family,
right,
Jesus knows these things. Jesus knows these concerns. So He's able to mediate that to God. So
exactly.
How can we sort of explain that part about how, even though it's sort of hard sometimes to pray, just to pray that Jesus will do the best.
Right. Well, and that's what, you know, Clint talked a couple lessons ago about when you go to the funeral home not knowing what to say. Sometimes prayers like that, not knowing what to say. You know, we don't know a situation. We don't. I mean, I've been in the point lots of times where I wasn't sure what to ask for. I'm talking about even for myself. But ultimately, that's where the first chapter of the book of Colossians, it's pointing us to Jesus Christ. That's where that all matters. And we won't get there today. We'll get there Wednesday night. And we'll see why all of that meshes together and why all of that matters. But yes, that He does know. God knows what we need. Well, God knows what we need. Now, we think we know what we need. We know what we want. And we think we know more about the situation. We think we know, well, here's the answer I need, God. And we don't always get, you know, well, we didn't get what we asked for. Later on, sometimes we're thankful for that we didn't get what we asked for. But most of the time, we don't understand why. Why was this answered in this particular way? Why? This is not what I asked for. But we have to go through Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. We'll talk about that is by his graciousness that we are even in a position to even approach God. That's exactly right. And he does know. He does know. He is our mediator. He is our ambassador. I love the word ambassador because he is there on our behalf. And that is important because there are times when I don't know what to say. And we've got to look to God, to Jesus, to take those things to the Father. You know, we're praying to God through him. And that's important. That is an important part of that. It definitely is. Paul, when Epaphras had reported to Paul about these folks, their faith, their hope, and their love. You know, the city there, Colossae, it's not a huge city. It was overshadowed a lot of different other cities. It's not a huge city, but it was known, the biggest thing that it was known for was the wool that they produced there. The reason it was known for that wasn't that they produced wool, because lots of cities produce wool, but the city of Colossae produced a wool that was a peculiar color. And it wasn't like anything else. And that was their, I don't know if I would call it their claim or thing. That was something that was important about that city. But their city would be not a lot different than our city here today. There were a lot of different religious beliefs. There were a lot of different, it was a melting pot. A lot of different people were there in that day. So a lot of similarities to the things that they were dealing with. And Epaphras had converted. You know, he was a convert of Paul, and he had gone and established this church here. These people were important to him. They were important to Paul too. Especially their faith, their hope, and love. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. They're just like us. And we know that. They had things. They had struggles. They had trials. They had temptations. Paul prayed that these brothers and sisters, that they would grow in several things. It's listed, wisdom, knowledge, power, endurance, long-suffering, patience is what I put, joy, gratitude, love. Are those things that people could pray for us? I mean, if you're praying for me and you're listing those things off for me to have wisdom and knowledge and power, you keep doing that. And endurance, long-suffering, patience, please pray for me to have patience. And love, pray for me to have those things. That's what I need. Paul knew, who in here couldn't benefit? Keith, I'll pick on you. And we'll have to look to him to tell us the truth. Could you benefit from some more patience?
Absolutely. Two grandkids and two, and a son-in-law living with you. Yeah. Need a lot more patience.
We really need to pray for people.
Pray for them.
But you see what I'm saying? I mean, any one of those things, man, I'd love to have some more knowledge. You know, I wish we could gain knowledge just by being in a room. I'd go Stan McCurtis all the time. I wish it came that way. No, but if it did, man, I'd be there. We'll pick up there on Wednesday night. Read the first chapter of the book of Colossians, if you would. And we're gonna look really hard at some of those verses and pick them apart.
Jesus walked around. down there, but he's not going to get past it. Just upper respiratory tract.
Along with NC9.
I think